Oh, I see it's live. Hello there. Welcome in, y'all. There's a lot of things that you could spend your time on. This stream is a lot better than most of them. This is Belly Up Fantasy Live. That's right, like in Iron Man 2 when Don Cheadle walks in and the Supreme Court. Yeah, it's me. Let's get over it. Aggie Kappasig, Chris Pinto back with Belly Up Fantasy Live. Got my man Billy Witt rolling with. We got two newcomers to Belly Up, but not to the space. Brandon Gabor, Jordan Reigns. Guys, let's give him a big introduction. First, let's talk to Brandon Gabor. Brandon, welcome to Belly Up Fantasy Live, sir.
What's up, man? I'm glad to be here. Glad to start.
Oh, no. Guys, first stream, so there will be some hiccups. It's okay. I might beat myself two or three times through it. So, Brandon, back to you, sir.
Just saying what's up. I'm glad to be in this space with you guys. Been really enjoying all of the discussions with you guys and ready to get rolling.
Awesome, Brandon. Make sure your app's not there. We'll get to the end of the show and do that again, but just let everyone know where they can follow you on Twitter.
Yes, on Twitter, you can follow me.
Oh no, that's okay. We'll come back. Jordan Reigns, the man, the myth, the legend, got the United, or not the United States. The United States is back there, but that's the world map, not Perry Reese. But yes, Jordan Reigns, let's go, baby. Introduce yourself to the world.
Fantasy football is global, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully we have audience members everywhere. Yeah, I'm Jordan Reigns at 50 Shades of Drunk if you want to follow me on Twitter. And yeah, I just love fantasy football, Ben, you know, talking about it, making content around it, playing it, most importantly, for coming up on 10 years now. And been kind of actively or semi-actively pursuing, an active hobby, I guess you would call it, you know, a side hustle, certain points, but still just love playing the game and love talking to people about football because there's so many different point of views, you know, and there's so many different variables and so much nuance to the game that every person, if they put in the time, can find an edge and can win. So happy to be here.
Jordan Reigns, intellectual among the group. Absolutely love it. Billy Witt, reintroduce yourself.
Happy Witt 2-4, familiar face. Happy to see everybody here. Maybe a part of the most overpowered team I've been a part of in a long time, fellas. I'm happy to be here with you guys. Can't wait to get to it. Jordan, just to echo your sentiment there, man. Playing fantasy football is the funnest thing. And I'm just looking forward to getting into more leagues with you guys, into this dynasty season here. We've got a little bit of free agency going on. Football's buzzing right now, man, leading right up into camp here.
Speaking of playing fantasy football, guys, I know that we all love it. We're all D-gens with it. But at the end of the stream, let's set up a sleeper 12-man dynasty startup, us four, plus whoever wants to join in from our listeners. We'll see y'all at the end of the show. Sleeper draft starts, let's say, tomorrow. Slow draft. Everyone's cool with that. And kind of like the Wild West, this free agency has been absolutely wild. This has probably been the most active free agency I've ever seen since Trump versus Biden the first time. So we'll see what happens this time. But, Billy, let's jump into who's been signing where, who's going where. I mean, my man Aaron Jones went from green to purple real quick. So everyone knows dynasty startups are starting. Let's get these free agencies signings going so we can adjust our rankings.
Yeah, probably one of the more less expected moves coming into the offseason was the Packers picking up Josh Jacobs, which led to that Aaron Jones release. And I think that just pushed him to that kind of that similar tenor we see from a lot of guys that leave Green Bay. They like to play against Green Bay when they leave for whatever reason. Aaron Jones was kind of supposed to be playing under that thank you for your time when he was playing for a lot less money with Aaron Rodgers on the roster. So I can see why he's a little bit spurned here, but it did lead to a little bit of domino effect. We end up with Joe Mixon, end up in Houston, kind of an odd spot. Wasn't expecting that. Zach Moss going to Cincinnati. Maybe that dampers some Chase Brown shares. Maybe it doesn't. The big one, Kirk Cousins to Atlanta, elevates a lot of these young Falcons that we've had struggling down there. And Saquon to Philadelphia, changing the NFC beasts just across the way there. So Saquon back home, very interesting to me. And then obviously DeAndre Swift joining the Bears, a little less than expected. Maybe some people not too excited for their Roschon shares moving into this offseason.
Yeah, Brandon Jordan, y'all have anything to add to that? Any insight, anything y'all are feeling deep down within you?
I would say the thing that I was most fascinated by was the fact that Josh Jacobs got, you know, was it 3 years close to $50 million, or was it 4 years close to $50 million, which is like pretty big money for a running back. It was the biggest free agency contract that I kind of saw dished out. I mean, it was the longest one too. I mean, that's just kind of crazy because, you know, the general sort of overtures on Josh Jacobs the last 2 years have been similar to kind of like what Najee Harris is going through right now. He's just kind of like, yeah, he's just a guy, but it's like, he's 25 years old. He's also, you know, an Alabama running back. He's been successful. He just didn't really confirm a lot of priors. He's just, you know, he's basically a lunch pail guy now, and now he's with Green Bay, or not Green Bay, sorry. Or is it? Yeah, it's Green Bay. He took over Aaron Jones. So it's like the Jordan Love thing, too, caught me off guard. So if Jordan Love is really as good as he looks like he is, I mean, this could be the best team that Josh Jacobs has ever played on. So, like, buckle up. I'm a big fan of Josh Jacobs. If you've had him in Dynasty the last couple of years, you know that nobody's really looked at him the way they should. But, I mean, he's definitely bar for bar outperformed guys like Jonathan Taylor and, you know, guys like that who have been consensus RB1s. So just keep cashing in. Don't sell. That's like the goofiest thing you can do in Dynasty is sell a good player. Don't do that, especially when he goes to an even better situation. Don't do it. Been on the other side of that. It's not fun. But that was the one that stuck out to me the most, just because he really is at the peak of his career, doesn't get injured. Yeah, he's a little bit of a troll, but whatever.
Like you said, he's an Alabama guy. I absolutely love Josh Jacobs. My affinity for him goes way back to when John Gruden was recruiting him, back to his, like, real good story. Like, everyone knows I like a good heartfelt heartstring tug story, and Josh Jacobs is one of them. For him to get that bag like that, I absolutely love it.
So I've got two for you guys. I've got one big one and then one low-key one that is very important for us to pay attention to. The big one being, of course, Kirk Cousins, which I will get into some deep dives on some stats and stuff like that later, because I'll be talking about some players from that team. And the other big signing, or multiple little signings that are a big impact on fantasy that I want to look at, is what the Chargers have been doing. Because partly to cut cap space, they let their receiving running back go. They let their number two wide receiver go. They brought in a power running back, and they brought in Will Disley, which was Gus Edwards, and they brought in Will Disley, who is a run-blocking tight end. So we've got four moves, two are losing receiving parts of the offense, and two are gaining rushing parts of the offense, completely committing to the Jim Harbaugh run-first offense that he has always had both in the NFL and in Michigan, and something that makes me a little bit weary on Justin Herbert.
Very good insight, Brandon and Jordan. Jordan, are you reading a book in the middle of this? What's going on there?
No, I have a bunch of stuff printed out, and I have my folder sitting over on my other thing. I thought it was right here, so I just tried to sneak away and grab it.
No joke, I asked my wife if she could go to her office and print out what I needed. It's like 200 pages, and she was like, why don't you just use like a tablet or a computer? And I'm like, because I like the hard copies. And she was like, well, the Kelseys use iPads, and they just scroll through stats on their podcast. And I was like, well, all right, I guess so. Well, guys, let's jump right into our rankings now. You know, we're about 10 minutes into the show. Let's get into some Dynasty running back rankings. Everyone knows I love running backs. Running back heavy guy. Billy, can we pull up our consensus rankings?
Oh, let me awesome. Get the running backs up.
Jordan's are on Fantasy Pro. We haven't integrated him in yet, everybody, so don't worry. He's got him in there. You scroll to the top, Billy. Here we go.
That's me. Okay. Sorry.
All good. So
there we go.
Belly Up Fantasy Live consensus. You can see on the right-hand side, this is our average. Number one, No surprise from Texas University, Bijan Robinson out of Austin. Stay weird. It was very, very difficult for me to rank him number one, but the situation there is just way too good. Brandon, why don't you elaborate on Bijan's situation?
So Bijan's in a great situation because first off, we want to look at the coaching staff changes, and he's got two guys coming from the Rams. And what did the Rams just have? They had one of the best, most productive fantasy football running backs, and he's not even somebody that has high draft capital, and that was Kyren Williams. So when we're looking at Bijan Robinson, just like
He had me on the edge of my seat right there.
We'll be back in 2 seconds. There he is.
I was on the edge of my seat, Brandon.
So just like they committed to Kyren, they're going to commit to Bijan. And Bijan's going to get more scoring opportunities because Arthur Smith's not there to do that balancing act between him and Algier. And the offense is going to be better, especially with Kirk Cousins in tow. So between more red zone usage, more scoring opportunities overall, he's young, he's efficient, he's built to last, and he has receiving usage, 86 targets last year. And now you're going to have a boost in pass attempts with both the coaching change and the addition of Kirk Cousins instead of the mediocre quarterbacks they had before. He's got literally everything you want. I don't even imagine what argument could be made against him, to be honest.
The only thing I could say is burnt orange is not a good color for anybody. So everyone knows Bijan should be number one, top three for sure. Now we're going to move on to a guy to keep it rolling. Two guys are tied for number two in our rankings right now. We'll get Jordan's in there to kind of even those out. But we'll go to Breece Hall. What is he from? UNC Tar Heel. Breece Hall last year finished with, 223 carries for 994 yards, 4.5 a clip, 5 tutties on the ground, 4 through the air. Breece Hall seemed to be electric, right, Billy?
Yeah, actually, Iowa State University, not North Carolina, Chris. He's a Cyclone, the second tier school in the state of Iowa up here. But to me, Breece Hall is just another one of those guys that has the potential to lead the league in rushing. We talked a little bit about Josh Jacobs earlier. You know, he's another guy that's done that. There's just not very many of those kind of backs left anymore. You know, we're getting to a lot of these kind of hybrid guys, James Cooks, and, guys that are catching balls as well as running it. And that's kind of what we saw from Breece Hall last year, coming off an ACL injury. This guy was number two overall in PPR scoring. He didn't have 1,000-yard rushing. He had under 250 carries, under 225 carries. But what he did do is he led the league in receiving as a running back, both in receptions and yards. A guy that had less than 10 touchdowns, less than 1,000 yards rushing, still your RB2 in his second season coming off a major injury. So obviously Aaron Rodgers there is a major, major catalyst to how we feel about Breece going into this next season. But assuming he's there like we would all assume, Breece Hall going into a year where he was RB2, and now they get to add Aaron Rodgers under center. That just gets me really, really excited for a player that I think is extremely special.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. To cap on to that, Breece Hall's really, really good. Not much more to say about that. Jahmyr Gibbs, number two for us as well. I've got him ranked higher than Breece Hall, so that's why he's kind of right there. Last year he finished running back 10. From the University of Alabama as well, Roll Tide, finished with 5.2 yards a clip last season. Speaking of head coaches, absolutely love Gig'em Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell, man, head coach, plays with full force all the time, man. This team is going places. True grit. We loved Hard Knocks. We loved everything about the Detroit Lions. Jahmyr Gibbs is a rising star. The offensive line is going to play a lot better. They've enhanced their offensive line this season. And Jahmyr Gibbs is a dynamic player. The guy amassed 800 yards on 160 carries. That is absolutely phenomenal. When we're looking at the enhanced passing attack, Jared Goff in this passing attack to Gibbs is one of the ones that's like, I don't know, it's kind of like a cheat code almost for me with the amount of passes he catches out of the backfield. So that's why I've got him ranked at number two. Jordan, I know that we don't have any of your rankings up there, so I can't really cite those for anything. Anything you'd like to add to the three guys that we talked about?
I just looked. I have him at three right now in my running back rankings. What you really love is he's 21 years old, and we've already seen him be really successful. I'm looking on Pro Football Reference. I have 182 carries and 945 yards. And just for context, like, you know, Saquon had 962, who was the next highest rusher. And he had that on 247 carries. So we're talking like massive efficiency differences here. And, you know, Gibbs wasn't necessarily just doing it all by himself. Like, didn't David Montgomery have a pretty nice season this year?
Sure did.
So there's a lot of meat left on the bone. I feel like we almost just got like we got an appetizer on what Jahmyr Gibbs can be. And, yeah, I mean, he's the running back that Dan Campbell and the boys said, let's get him here and let's get this done. They took him super. They said we would have taken him at, you know, whatever they were at. I mean, they said they would have taken him higher. So, and I don't doubt Dan Campbell when he says that. That's not coach speak. That's cojones. That's, yeah, yeah. We believe.
I'll tell you what sticks out the biggest about Jahmyr Gibbs to me is that really we were all pretty underwhelmed with the spots that we had him in. Coming in at running back 8 to finish the year off has to leave you thinking like, whoa, it's a pretty big surprise when you look back at it, because it did not feel like a running back 8 season. That's just a testament to the potential, you know, there he has in Detroit with this batch of guys. And I assume he'll have a lot more of an early role, you know, moving into his career than maybe he did last year with Montgomery.
Yeah, I want to get in here on Gibbs if I can. Hopefully it doesn't boot me out. I'm not really sure why that keeps happening. But Jahmyr Gibbs, a lot of people might have the questions. I get this all the time. Is he's got David Montgomery. Why would you take him over all these other guys that are the clear number one? Well, let's draw a comparison using coaching once again. Dan Campbell, his roots are in New Orleans. And what did New Orleans do for the longest time? Produce Alvin Kamara, a top 5 fantasy running back, alongside Mark Ingram, who out-carried him or just about split with him 50-50 for a while. And it also contributed to Kamara having a long-standing career, and he was used as a receiver. Gibbs is playing that exact same role in an offense that is just a little bit better, and Ben Johnson is back for this next year. So as long as Montgomery is there, that's not hurting him. That's just helping him stay massively efficient and expanding his career. And we're talking about dynasty. So that's going to help him last even longer as one of those receiving dual threat running backs.
Absolutely phenomenal. We don't need to pull up this, our rankings. We'll have those in just a little bit. Brandon, keep on going with Isaiah Pacheco.
All right, I'll keep it going. So Isaiah Pacheco, there's one thing, I'm not going to lie. I like to play both sides, right? I am big on Pacheco, but I do recognize there is a slight bit of risk, and that's the fact that he's one of those late drafted, undrafted guys that falls into that category that a lot of times start hot and fizzle out. But there's a big difference for me in what I identify in that situation in Chiefs Kingdom, and that's that Isaiah Pacheco has incredible vision, and he also is very strong. It's something that all coaches want, right? Some of the reasons that running backs fizzle out is because they come in and they rely on athleticism and breaking big plays, but they get a lot of negative plays in there, and coaches get fed up with that. Isaiah Pacheco is the opposite. He runs forward, he takes what's given, and then he creates more after contact. That's something that's going to last him, whether it's with the Chiefs or a second contract somewhere else, a long-standing career. And then when you're looking at where he is now, there's also something that is very promising, and that's the fact that he beat out higher draft capital players like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which they spent a first-round pick on. And Isaiah Pacheco was able to beat him out. So that shows you that they have already tossed the draft capital conversation out the window for Isaiah Pacheco. And then the last thing is the identity of the Chiefs and the direction they're going. Kelsey's on his way out soon. Mahomes is getting more.
Ooh, that's okay.
He's coming
back. Right back, everybody. There he is.
I don't know where I was, so I'll rewind a little bit. But the Mahomes is getting a lot more mature and less risk-averse, right? And their defense is on the upswing, and their defense is young. And Mike Spagnuolo, their defensive coordinator, he's had his run through the league. He's not going to go get stolen and be a head coach somewhere. He's going to be there for a while. So they've got the coaching. They've got the young guys. They keep hitting on their draft picks. They're going to turn into this team that is able to
do whatever they want. It's the Chiefs,
that's
baby.
That's right. And Isaiah going through the run game. Seventh round pick from Rutgers.
But anyways, I'll leave my piece at that.
I agree, man. I really like Isaiah Pacheco, but to me, like, if I'm a dynasty holder, it, like, because he's that late round pick and it does seem like there's maybe something missing in his game, I have to, just that back of my mind paranoia that the Chiefs are always maybe going to move in a different direction or bring in somebody to compete, and that worries me a little bit with Pacheco.
Nah, Pacheco. I hope not, man. I love the guy. Boy, he's the heart and soul of the Chiefs. Once Kelsey's gone, it's Pacheco land, baby. You heard it here first.
We've seen it during the season.
He's won back-to-back Super Bowls with them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he shows up, what happens, they win back-to-back Super Bowls. What's the difference between the team last year and this year? You know, 2 years ago, a seventh-round pick from Rutgers, as you say. Chiefs got eyes. We know what we're doing over here.
Man, and he's at, what, 4.39 speed, I believe, something like that? Sub-4.4 speed. And he weighs 215 pounds. So what Brandon was mentioning, he's a big dude. Tom Brady, the GOAT.
The GOAT.
They know what they're doing until they play the Bucks and Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well,
that was an O-line issue. That was
it's smooth sailing for the rest of Mahomes' career now. Isaiah Pacheco is going to be – will probably take us to three-peat. You know what I'm saying? Emmitt Smith, what? What?
The three-peat this year for Travis Kelce, then he'll leave?
We're talking about Brady? No, Travis Kelce is not going to be okay tying with anybody. He got a three-peat. He's going to say, I don't care if you wheelchair me out here. If we're playing another season of Chiefs football, I'll be on the team. Is there a chance to get four?
It's like, in my mind, I needed like a Venn diagram, like that gift with Charlie Day from Always Sunny where he's got the conspiracy stuff. We're talking about Tom Brady. We're talking about Isaiah Pacheco. We're talking about being a GOAT. We're talking about Travis Kelce. We're talking about Taylor Swift now because she's on my mind. I shake that off. But we're talking about pretty much queens and kings if Taylor was a man, right? If she was a man. Is that how the song goes? I don't know. That's my daughter. But speaking of kings, right? The return of the king, like Aragorn, Saquon Barkley returns. Well, I guess not returns, but I guess he's in a new uniform. Baby. Saquon Barkley is an Eagle. And like I mentioned earlier, Travis Kelce, Jason Kelce retiring. A lot of people are talking about the tush push being able to take goal line stands away from Saquon, goal line touchdowns. I think that's the opposite. With Jason Kelce retiring, I think they're going to hand it off more as opposed to Jalen Hurts running it in. So that's why I'm pretty high on Saquon Barkley. I've always been high on Saquon Barkley. But I will stop talking so much. Jordan, I want to hear from you. What do you think about Saquon going to the Eagles?
I think it sucks for him because Jalen Hurts is going to score. I mean, like, he's going to get more than half of their rushing touchdowns on the ground. Like, Jalen Hurts will get double-digit touchdowns on the ground before Saquon Barkley does. I mean, he only had, what, 6 this last year? It's an 18-week season. So that means once a month you get a Saquon Barkley touchdown on the Giants where he's the only offensive weapon. Now you put him on the Nick Sirianni, I just do whatever the hell I want Eagles, even though I have literally, you know, dogs all over the place and I can't win a friggin' game when it matters. So I'm going to get Saquon out here and I'm going to have him get a big hold of Jalen Hurts' cheeks and just push him. Nah, I don't want any. Sorry. I think it's better overall, like situationally, but I think just he's 20, you know, he's 26. He'll probably be, you know, around 27. Again, new team. They don't even throw the running back that much. And they're goofballs with their running backs too. I mean, they had DeAndre Swift this year. He could have been RB1 if they just hadn't been fuck boys. I mean, straight up and down. So
I'm gonna have to hit you on that comment. I'm gonna have to hit you on that comment. So yeah. So here's the thing, right? Most tendencies, especially when it comes to running back stuff like that, somewhat influenced by the quarterback, yes, but a lot of times follows the coaching tendencies. And you know, I was just having a conversation with somebody about Russell Wilson and his tendencies, and I proved myself right in that coaching is more important than the quarterback. And Kellen Moore coming from Dallas with Tony Pollard, and even throwing the ball to Ezekiel Elliott. And then Austin Eckler had an amazing year 2 years ago when Kellen was there and still, in his old age, was getting reception and receiving work. With the Chargers, Saquon, it's going to change. He's going to be able to be the running back that gets receiving work for the Eagles. So I think that while he may get stuff stolen at the goal line, I see that. I'm on the same page with you on that, Jordan. But I do think that the receiving conversation and trend for the Eagles is going to flip on its head this offseason or this season. And that's going to make up for it, more than make up for it. And they've got 2 years to run Saquon into the ground, which, I mean, not great for Saquon, I guess, but it's great for us for fantasy.
Yeah, higher yards per carry out of DeAndre Swift in Philly last year than we've seen out of Saquon in a while. I think Saquon's a superior player, an upgrade in Philly, but I do think, like to Brandon's point, something has to change in Philly. And later on when you guys beat me up for my lower ranking on Hurts, I think this has just a little bit to do with it, a little foreshadowing.
For sure. Speaking of Kellen Moore and the Dallas Cowboys, let's move on to wide receiver rankings. And our number one consensus, I believe, is CeeDee Lamb. Is that true? Maybe it's Ja'Marr Chase.
CeeDee Lamb,
number one right now. All right. Well, I could talk about CeeDee Lamb all day. All I'm going to say is, Billy, why don't you take a little bit of CeeDee Lamb from me?
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb coming into last year was far and away the guy that I wanted to have because you were getting him at the end of the first round, and I really thought he had a shot at being the wide receiver one, basically just going off that Mike McCarthy time in Green Bay that we saw what he did with Davante Adams. They heavily target their main receiver, and they become highly productive guys, and I just see it happening over and over with CeeDee Lamb, and last year was just the first stage of that growth with him and Dak together in that offense. Finally, Mike McCarthy calling plays. And, I mean, you saw what it was. He led the league in receiving. And this is an offense that's going to be throwing more. We lost Tony Pollard. Going to be looking for a running back, so likely a young guy. A little lacking at the tight end position in my estimation. And wide receiver two, like Brandon Cooks, Michael Gallup likely out. CeeDee Lamb just getting a little bit more and more of that target share as this offseason progresses.
For sure. Brandon, I don't want to take too much away from you, so let's talk about your number one wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, so my thing with Chase is the whole dynasty outlook of looking towards the future. And the reason I take him over Jefferson, which I think everybody's kind of on board now because of Cousins leaving, and CeeDee Lamb is because of his situation and how it projects moving forward. T. Higgins has not had a deal talked about since March of 2023. T. Higgins is not the future of this team, okay? Ja'Marr Chase has the best quarterback of them, not close. Ja'Marr Chase has been extremely efficient, I believe is more efficient than CeeDee Lamb when everybody's healthy. And Ja'Marr Chase has produced insane fantasy numbers with insane competition on his team. CeeDee Lamb is a product of, he's amazing. He's a great quarterback, but he is a product of not having anyone else to throw the ball to. And when you look at what everybody else is working with and how they project towards the future, Ja'Marr Chase might have that situation soon, whereas I'm sure Dallas is going to bring people in. They've got to bring people in. They've got to figure out how to compete with these other teams and everything that they've got going on because they can't make it. Dallas continuously flops in the playoffs. They're going to make changes. And even bringing in a run game, getting a better run game, that's going to also take a little bit away because they've been so reliant upon CeeDee Lamb alone. So when you're looking at Ja'Marr Chase, he's the better talented wide receiver. He's got the better quarterback. And his targets projecting towards the future are going to get better. So that's why I prefer Ja'Marr Chase above all else.
That's fair. Jordan, who's your number one wide receiver?
I still have Justin Jefferson as my number one wide receiver. You know, I think, and I love CeeDee Lamb. I remember, I mean, this time last year, the conversation was, is CeeDee Lamb even a top five dynasty wide receiver? So you see the fantasy industry complex, whatever you want to call it, sports media complex, they're very reactionary. You know, now he's like the number one guy. I mean, if you'd asked halfway through the season if he was number one, you know, the answer would probably been no. So for me, it's not anything to say like I'm not CeeDee Lamb pro. I am. Like I said, I've always had him at like three or four. But I'm with Brandon where he is the product of the fact that was a Dalton Schultz left, Zeke's gone, you know, they did not target Michael Gallup like I thought they would. And they really did just hone in on CeeDee Lamb and he profited off of that, you know, and that's good for him. But like you said, Dallas going forward can't be what it was in the past. I like Justin Jefferson a lot as one still, though, just because he has a longer kind of track record of success. He's done it with a lot of talent around him. Adam Thielen has never been a scrub at any point. He performed with him there. Dalvin Cook was not a scrub. He performed really well with him there. TJ Hockenson is not a scrub. He had, you know, I mean, he had 1,000 yards this season in 9 games, Justin Jefferson still. So, you know, he was still a top playing half a season. Essentially, he was a solid wide receiver too, you know, an overall sort of, you know, so he's just such a, he's such a stud that, you know, it's fine, you know, really pick your poison, but Justin Jefferson to me is still the crown jewel in fantasy because he's like untradeable. You know what I mean? Like if he's just lock it in. And I like Ja'Marr Chase just as much as the next guy, but I don't know, man, just Justin Jefferson, the way his body moves, it's similar to CeeDee Lamb, but it seems like he has a little bit more, I don't know, like just a little bit more control.
Are you not worried about the quarterback situation? Because they're in a tough spot where they almost are forced.
They are, you're right. But I don't think they're going to stay that way. You know what I mean? Like I'm willing to endure a year. I mean, again, Justin, you mean Ja'Marr Chase had a tough quarterback situation this year and he was fine. You know, I think that someone on Justin Jefferson's level is going to be okay.
Say Sam Darnold starts, you guys, for this team.
I mean, I'm not operating under the assumption that their starting quarterback's even there personally.
Yeah, that's a good thought too. But I just kind of think if it does end up being Sam Darnold, I'm not hitting the panic button on Justin Jefferson. He's going to know the system. He's going to come in knowing that the ball goes to Justin Jefferson, and I ultimately think he can duplicate at least a little bit of what Kirk Cousins was able to do there with those guys. So I'm not hitting the panic button on Justin Jefferson. The places I have him, he's still the same price he was, and that's not available. And that's where I'm at in Dynasty with him.
Amen, brother.
The cream always rises to the top.
Yes, absolutely.
Speaking of the cream rising to the top and talented players, T. Higgins, Billy, you're a little bit higher on him, and you always have been. Speak on him.
I love T. Higgins. The body that this guy has on him is the dying breed of receiver that we only see with like the Michael Pittman, Mike Evans, and hopefully Drake London develops into another one of these premier guys. But we're seeing a lot of smaller receivers, and I prefer those guys because the red zone threat that they can become. However, with T. Higgins, we haven't ever really seen the touchdowns really come along with what we think the talent is. 3 straight years of progression from a fantasy production standpoint before last year. And I think that was kind of a focus issue. There was rumors that the Bengals had let him know that he wasn't a part of their future plans. And I think that kind of plays into a guy's, wherewithal leading into a season, putting their body on the line. Now he's in a funny situation sitting there, in Cincinnati, tagged, has demanded or requested a trade, depending on what report you read. And ultimately, I'm not positive that he is going to be a Bengal. I heard Greeny today talking about there's really some heat that the Chiefs cleared that cap space with Mahomes specifically to go knock on the door for T. Higgins. So he would be way up my list, even higher there. My even tempered expectation or tempered ranking that I have on him now, that back-end wide receiver one, is strictly because of just that insecurity with him. With the Bengals, that relationship breaking down, those things kind of worry me. T. Higgins seems to be one of those guys that doesn't take those things lightly. I don't think he's looking to become the highest paid. I think he just wants to be appreciated and wants to be a part of Cincinnati where he's been. And it just doesn't seem like, with everything they have going on, that may be very possible.
You said 2 things that absolutely triggered me. My eyes just blew up. You said relationship, and I think you said insecurity or something like that. The first 2 things that I think of when you say those is Garrett Wilson. I'm so shaky on this guy. The whole Aaron Rodgers thing, like, it's sad. He's going to come back. Brandon, tell me why I should be drafting Garrett Wilson Dynasty Startups.
You said Garrett Wilson?
Yes.
Okay. So I love Garrett Wilson. He's incredibly talented. He's been, unfortunately, a terrible situation thus far in his career. Aaron Rodgers, which I am one of the people that will tell you Aaron Rodgers is nuts. I've been on that train since before he took a snap with the Jets, before his season with Green Bay, because it was on the wall if you look at stats, but it doesn't matter. Aaron Rodgers is so far way better than what they have had that Garrett Wilson is going to some huge efficiency bombs. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. This is out of the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure Wilson had like 170.
Is it me or was Brennan like doubling?
Yeah, I think he's echoing a little bit. There he's back.
Okay.
He's about to say 170 targets, 168 targets.
168 targets. Yeah,
so he had a bunch. Imagine that with Aaron Rodgers and his efficiency going up by 30-40%, and then the touch by Viking. That's top three receiver.
Yeah, that's how Devontae Adams made all that money.
Yeah.
And Antonio Hyper Brown. Targets. Just throw the ball and DeAndre Hopkins.
When he had like those 18 catches, it was ridiculous.
I was talking so to my angry. Buddy today on the phone, actually. He called me and I was like, who is he talking about? I think it was DeAndre Hopkins. He's like, oh, he's still had a pretty good year. And I'm like, anybody will have a good year if you throw them the ball 17 times a friggin' game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the good year was like three sporadic games.
Yeah, I'm like, look at Michael Thomas. I mean, literally people were convinced he was the best receiver in football. I was like, why? Because Drew Brees literally doesn't know how to do anything but throw him the football. Like just like that. I mean, it might make sense in your very linear sort of understanding of what's happening right now, but false.
So, Jordan, do you think Aaron Rodgers, if he stays healthy, will hyper target Garrett Wilson this year? And do you think Breece Hall affects him at all?
Yes, because that's what Aaron Rodgers does. Aaron Rodgers invented hyper targeting guys. Look at Jordy Nelson. Look at, Devontae Adams. Like, once he keys in on you and he wants you to be that guy, he can make you that guy. I mean, that's what some of these quarterbacks can do. And coming to your T. Higgins comments, I'm just looking here. I mean, T. Higgins was catching this year 3.5 receptions a game. I want to live in a world where he doubles that. You know what I'm saying? I want to see what T. Higgins does when he has 3.5 receptions a game. That's not even a reception a quarter. Like, that's malpractice. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be wanting to move on, too. And this is a world where, I mean, what is this? Jamar Chase was getting – I mean, he's getting basically double that, you know, 6 receptions a game, you know. I mean, so, you know.
Garrett Wilson's only 23.
Anybody will do great if you force feed on the ball. That's kind of a very basic. So that's why I'm always hesitant about some of these guys. But like you said, Garrett Wilson is a baller. So once Garrett Wilson gets, that's the thing. When a baller gets force fed the ball, that's where the magic happens, like Tyreek Hill. You know what I mean? And even I don't even want to get my Antonio Brown takes, but I think Big Ben had a lot to do with Antonio Brown being the best receiver in football for however long he was.
Absolutely.
Again, when you're getting 18 targets a game from a Hall of Famer, you better be freaking good. I mean, he's going to make you good.
Well, right here, I'm updating my rankings. Garrett Wilson moving up to my number 7.
Nice.
That's very
fair. I've got him at 8. Kid. Even after I said all that, I have him at 8. But
oh, that's where I have him at. But he's moving up to number 7 for me now after y'all made me rethink my evaluation process.
Can you guys hear me?
We can, yes, sir.
Welcome okay. back. I think my mic while was we probably... got
you, let's move to you, Brandon, because we talked about Kirk Cousins earlier. Obviously, we talked about the T-Sip Bijan Robinson. Let's talk about Drake London, the Drake, if you will.
Yes, absolutely. So the first thing that I like to do, you guys know I'm a big projections guy. It's one of the things that kind of make me a little bit different. So when I look at projections, one of the first things you have to do is look at plays, total plays for a team. It could be because their defense is good or bad, that they're able to be on the field more. It could be because the coaching likes to have a high play rate, doesn't like to waste that clock. There's a lot of different things to look at. And so you look at that and then you look at and find the marriage with how often somebody passes. And that's been the problem in Atlanta, because in 2022, they had a 43% pass rate. They ran the ball more than they passed. That's one of a handful of teams every year that do it. And most teams that do it have a Lamar Jackson, have a Jalen Hurts, have a rushing quarterback, right? That's not what Atlanta was. They completely commit to the run, and it kills the passing game. It kills the availability of targets for everybody there in the receiving game. And not only that, but they've also done it with terrible quarterback play and terrible efficiency. You've had guys like Kyle Pitts and Drake London wide open getting missed by 5 yards. It's insane. And now when you look at what they have coming in, there's two things that you can kind of keep in your mind. Is one, the coaching coming from the Rams, right? Over the last 2 years, the Rams have passed 55 and 56% of the time. That's the entire coaching staff. Zach Robinson was the passing game coordinator for the Rams. He's the offensive coordinator now for the Falcons. And obviously their head coach coming from the Rams as well. He doesn't really touch the offense though. And so you're looking at a boost in pass rate automatically. Then you think about the fact that Kirk Cousins is now here. So you have a better quarterback to rely on. And Kirk Cousins is coming from the Vikings. They pass top three in the league every year, above 60% of the time. So you're coming from basement level, passing 43 to 50% of the time to now high 50s. That's if you bear it out and you stat it out, that's about 100 extra passes for the season. And when you got Drake London getting 28% target share, that's an extra 28 targets. That's insane. That's like a difference of 2 points per game in fantasy. And then he's going to have more touchdown potential because the offense is going to run through him and it's going to be efficient. His efficiency is going to spike. His targets are going up. Every single thing is getting better. And then lastly, if you want to say, okay, well, is his target share going to remain the same? It was 28% in his rookie year. It was only 22% last year. Like, how do we know where he's going to fall? Well, Kirk Cousins' number one wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, in his rookie season, had a crazy target share. Last year, he had a above 28% target share. And then you look at the Rams guys, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, when they are on their rips, when they're healthy and everything's going right, they're above 28% target share. So London will be getting an elite target share with much better efficiency and much more targets. I wouldn't be surprised if Drake London is a middling wide receiver one right away. And he's only 22 years old. So he's got that Mike Evans trajectory where he's got the same body type, similar play style, and came into the league super young. He's got a lot left to go forward with. So I absolutely love London. And I really just love the Falcons offense because it cannot be understated how big of a difference not only Kirk Cousins, but also this coaching staff is going to make there. And they're going to have their tough spots because it's, you know, a passing game coordinator now running an entire offense. But they're going to pick up and probably right after the bye week, halfway through the season, they're going to start rolling and you're going to want a piece of it.
Oh, I'm going to hurt myself on the Falcons again this year, aren't I? Drake London's only 22 years old. He's going to be my number one wide receiver that I draft somehow in a probably in our dynasty startup, and it's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt me so, so bad. To piggyback on Brandon, what he was talking about, coaching, Zach Taylor and the Rams, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. I should have said Cooper Kupp first, leading into Puka Nacua. I'll get better at this as we go on. Don't worry, guys, I promise. But Puka Nacua, I'm very, very high on this guy. Brigham Young University guy. He loves to block. Sean McVay loves him. The guy had like 1,400 yards through the air last year, like 63% or a 63% catch rate. Jordan, I haven't heard from you in just a little bit. What do you think about Puka Nacua?
Who was it again? Sorry.
Puka Nacua.
Oh, Puka. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I actually was not really in on him at all coming in last year. I didn't draft him anywhere at all. He was just completely off my radar. Just because I'm kind of prejudiced against the Rams. There's another perfect example of, you know, you force feed anybody a trillion targets, they're going to be amazing. You know what I mean? Cooper Kupp, now Puka Nacua. But Puka Nacua is talented. I mean, like, it's very obvious. He's a gamer. He plays with, like, a really – what I noticed about him is like he plays with like a really like a really light spirit. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like he looks like he's having fun because he looks like he's having fun. It just looks like it's easy for him. Like he makes like it's like Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's a little more swaggy about it, but he just looks like he loves to play football and he's just so excited when the ball's coming to him that like he's going to do everything he can, you know, in that moment to be successful. And Sean McVay, he's the kind of guy that keys in on those guys. So he's huge in Dynasty. I have him at six. You know, that's probably a little low. Again, my prejudice is probably showing. I was not really in on him last year. The only guys I have above him are, you know, Jefferson, Chase, Lamb, A.J. Brown, and then Amon-Ra. But that's just because I have, you know, multiple years of success, you know, Puka Nacua-like success to tack on. So, I mean, if Puka Nacua just kind of picks up where he left off halfway, you know, this year, he's easily going to climb up the rankings just because he's so much younger. And I, you know, like Brandon said earlier, the coaching you can depend on coaching, and we can depend on Sean McVay to highlight him continually.
Do we worry about Stafford long term at all in that scenario?
I mean, Sean McVay has no problem getting rid of his guy, quote unquote.
As long as Matt Stafford doesn't talk about Sean McVay's fiance, you'd be all right. Billy, I don't think we ever mentioned this yet. You live in Iowa. Let's talk about an Iowa guy, Sam Laporta, our consensus number one tight end.
Yeah, rookie tight end last year. Ended up tight end number one, probably due to the distracted Travis Kelce for most of the season. I mean, let's be honest. But we did see him come in and do something we really haven't seen any rookie tight end do, and he wasn't really that Kyle Pitts touted guy in our dynasty drafts last year. So if you were getting him in the middle of the second round, early second round towards the, you know, as August approached, you're really happy that, you know, you're getting him after Kincaid was getting taken, kind of that middle back, middle end of the first round last year. So extreme value for you there, a guy you want to hold on to because he plays for a tight end head coach, you guys. This is a guy who's going to step into this team and continue to just produce. I don't think Jameson Williams takes away from him. Obviously, Amon-Ra and him still produced last year. If you ended up with Sam Laporta on your team or somehow have the opportunity to acquire him, do so. Hold him. You're locked in at tight end one, and at your tight end position, you are set up for at least a decade, barring injury.
Yeah, I don't think there needs to be much else said about Sam Laporta. Billy, keep it rolling with another Iowa tight end. Tight end you over there. Golly, TJ Hawkinson. Let's talk about him.
Yeah, so TJ Hawkinson, and obviously another Hawkeye, he's the guy that kind of got moved out of that spot to get Sam Laporta drafted to Detroit. They know what they're doing. They're drafting their Hawkeyes. But Hawkinson, a little more name value at the tight end position, but a guy that we haven't seen eclipse that 1,000-yard mark yet, but still 3 out of 4 seasons as a top 5 fantasy tight end, a premier player at the position. I still think there's some room for growth, but obviously, like we talked about a little bit earlier in the show with Justin Jefferson, that quarterback situation leaves you a little bit weary. However, young quarterback or maybe not as talented quarterback, tight ends typically really good safety valve, so I would expect Hawkinson to keep doing what he's doing. Maybe we see him eclipse that 1,000-yard mark, but let's be honest, last year only one tight end did that, you guys, so it is something that we're not seeing a lot of tight ends do. So right around that 950, that 990 mark, I believe, is where he was last year. He's in the neighborhood with the elite guys with Kelce and Kittle last season, and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah, being 26 years old. Brandon, do you have any insight on TJ Hawkinson?
I do, and I'm sorry, Billy, but it's a little bit of drawback. And sure. The drawback is going to come for two reasons. One, just the same thing with Justin Jefferson for me. It's the question at quarterback. And two is we didn't get to see many games of a healthy TJ Hawkinson, Justin Jefferson, and Jordan Addison all together. And I haven't even been able to dive into the small sample that we do have on that. But I already know that it's going to make it a little bit difficult for both Addison and Hawkinson. You know, Justin Jefferson's locked in. He's going to get his elite target share, adding weapons to the offense, unless you're like 30.
Oh. Every time it's like M. Night Shyamalan twist is about to happen.
Yeah, right at the important piece.
So Addison and Hawkinson, right? Oh, man, I'm trying to get my train of thought now.
You're good.
So, Addison, he just came in. He's a rookie. He's going to get better. He's going to get integrated into offense. He's going to open up a more difficult route tree. And everything that he gets better at is going to draw away from somewhere. And it's not drawing away from a wide receiver 3. They don't use it. It's not going to draw away from Justin Jefferson because he's elite and established. So, as Addison ascends, I feel like it's going to be hurting TJ Hawkinson. Now, I do think I like him. I like him. He's not a bad value, but I'm just not as high as Billy.
That's fair. Brandon, like I mentioned earlier with Drake London and the T-Sip, I'm going to hurt myself again with Atlanta. Let's keep on moving into Kyle Pitts for you. Billy, after Brandon does his Kyle Pitts segment, let's pull up our tight end rankings. And Jordan, kind of go over those, if you wouldn't mind, and give us your insight whenever Brandon's done.
So with Kyle Pitts, it's kind of the same things I echoed already about the uptick in passing attempts, uptick in efficiency for the receivers, especially for Pitts. But there's one other piece that we have to keep in mind for Pitts, and he said it himself. He wasn't fully healthy last season. So a lot of people started to see some stats and stuff and get a little bit scared. Oh, maybe Pitts isn't as good as we thought. Maybe it's not just the situation. Nope, it's just the situation. He is as good as we thought. He was a little bit banged up last year trying to play through it. He's going to be completely healthy and good to go.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts is like, he's 23 years old, so he's super, super young.
Younger than most rookies.
Yeah, that's absolutely wild to me. Like, and it feels like he's already been in the league forever. It's crazy. So, Jordan, do you see anything up there that you want to dive into? Anything that you don't like? Anything you do like?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say I like Sam Laporta at one as well. You know, just because he's got so much runway. And I mean, he just had almost a almost a 1,000-yard season as a rookie. You know, 889, and that's on a team that had Jahmyr Gibbs. That's on a team that had David Montgomery. That's on a team that had Jameson Williams. That's on a team that had Amon-Ra St. Brown. All of these guys ate this year, and guess what? Guess who got noticed? You know what I mean? That was Sam Laporta. So I think that I don't think it can be overstated what he did as a rookie. And again, kind of like I said with Jahmyr Gibbs, like, as long as Dan Campbell's there, I mean, fire him up as your tight end, you know, one probably in Dynasty. You know, I think there's still meat left on the bone. But I would say that if you want to, and he's going to cost that, though, in Dynasty now, if you don't already have him. I would say your best target if you're looking for, like, the discount, similar production, I would be looking for Trey McBride. You know, he finished the season, he's a couple years older, he's 24, you know, whereas Laporta's 22. But I mean, he had 106 targets, 825 yards as a, you know, rookie himself, right? So that's pretty substantial. That's 825 yards again. And that was with who was quarterbacks this year? Kyler for a little bit, who's totally washed in my opinion. And then it was a Dobbs and some, wasn't it like that, Colt McCoy. Mm-hmm. So I mean, this guy, you know, he wasn't like I never really heard of him, but I watched him play a couple of games. I mean, he's out there making Zach Ertz, who's been an all pro, right, look like he doesn't know how to play tight end. And when he catches the ball, he's got that dog in him. Like, Trey McBride is like the evil version of, you know, the happy go lucky Puka Nacua. He, like, gets the ball, and he's trying to drop somebody. You know what I'm saying? He plays like that. So I really like him. 3 touchdowns. He's going to fly under the radar. And he's going to – and, again, at 24 years old, you have a lot of runway ahead of you. And that's the thing you really need to think about, your tight ends. You have to think ahead of time. You can't come in and try to get T.J. Hockenson now. You know, when last year most people didn't have him as a consensus top 5 dynasty tight end. And, you know, I mean, you have to get in before they sort of solidify themselves, even if it means kind of taking a little bit of a bit of a precarious stand. So
that's Cole Kmet this year, by the way, guys.
Kmet's, hey, he's at least two. To piggyback off of
what Jordan said.
I love Kmet.
To piggyback off what you said, though, Jordan, in my notes for Trey McBride, when we were talking about he's got that dog in him, I've got him as an emerging rising star in the tight end landscape. His ability to make clutch plays and run like a bat out of hell is top 5. Dog, dude. Bat out of hell, same difference. Was that movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? I haven't seen it. Go check that one out.
He's like George Kittle without like the cheesy WWE like thing. He's like George Kittle if George Kittle was like in the first Predator movie. Like, and was gonna die. Like, he's like that. Like, he's like Trey McBride's like, I'm here for the whole ham sandwich. None of this is fake. So,
well, guys, before we get into our quarterbacks, what everyone's probably really, really wanting to talk about, what they're wanting to listen to, I want to just give one big shout out to Mike Brown, Blaine Napier of Belly Up Fantasy Sports. Thanks for bringing us back, guys. Thanks for hosting us. Thanks for funding us, everything like that. Also, I want to give a shout out to Manscaped. We'll be reaching out to y'all. Y'all be sponsoring us here pretty soon. I'll be reading one of your ad reads here pretty soon. So thank you, the guys at Manscaped. Thank you, the guys from Belly Up Sports. And also, I want to throw a plug into BCS T-shirts and apparel. Billy, show everyone what you're wearing. Oh, my goodness. That's a Belly Up Sports embroidered Nike shirt.
Hey, I got the swish here.
Look at that. Only the finest from BCS T-shirts and apparel in the Bryan College Station area. Aggie owned and operated. The entire fantasy space. If you would like to get your t-shirts made, polos, pullovers, quarter zips, anything like that, feel free to reach out to me at Aggie Kappa Sig or go visit our website. You don't have to deal with third-party vendors. We ship right to you. Super, super easy. Thanks to everybody at BCS T-Shirts and Apparel. That's the only plug I'm going to do. More time goes on, we'll get more of those, but I like to do them throughout the show, not at the beginning. Let's get into fantasy football. So, Billy, pull up our quarterback rankings. Let's go. No one really wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes, so I think Chiefs Kingdom Jordan Reigns is definitely going to say something. We didn't have it on the docket to talk about Patty Mahomes, but I see the here we go, Chiefs Kingdom Jordan. Let's talk about the one and only Patrick Mahomes, Texas boy.
All right, well, I'm going to use this as a chance to point out to people that Patrick Mahomes is great, blah, 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 blah. He's number one, okay? He's 1 year younger than Jared Goff, who's 17 on this list. Jared Goff, who's been to how many Super Bowls? He's been to at least one, right? He was one crazy batted Brandon Ayuk heads up touchdown away from probably going head-to-head against Patrick Mahomes, a rematch, a quarterback rematch against the greatest quarterback football game that ever happened on Monday Night Football and just probably in the history of the NFL. And we got him at 17. So I'm just going to take a moment here to say that I'm not calling anybody out, but I'm just saying the entire fantasy football community needs to understand that Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes are not 17 spots away from each other. You know what I'm saying? And that's in fantasy, that's in real football, that's in all of it. So I want to start there. So I want to say Jared Goff, my guy. I hated Jared Goff for the longest time. He's a freaking goober, okay? But the guy can play ball, and it's time for people to stop with the narrative crap and just look at the fucking facts, because they're treating him like they treated Kirk Cousins for far too long. And now everybody's like, oh, Kirk Cousins is so good. I'm like, where were you the whole time when Kirk Cousins was good? You know what I'm saying? So don't give me this narrative crap, you know, whatever. Like, he should be up there. So I want to start right there and say, I love Patrick Mahomes. Let's not forget that if we're talking like, you know, guys that are going to be around for a while, Jared Goff will retire from the NFL when he's ready to retire from the NFL. There are a lot of guys above him on this list that might not even have jobs in like 2 or 3 years. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to start there. You know, Deshaun Watson right above him. That guy is – he's one fart in the wrong room away from never sniffing an NFL front office again. So – but I just want to throw that out that sometimes you can find massive, massive, massive key cornerstone dynasty pieces that people just don't know what they're really looking at sometimes. So I just want to say, you know, Jared Goff here, it looks like he's a borderline quarterback two for us. I would say go if that's the temperature in your league, I mean, sell the farm. Or don't sell the farm. I mean, you don't have to sell the farm, you know, just sell some smoke. You
he
know?
Didn't sell. He didn't sign his contract yet. They didn't extend him yet, did they?
I don't know, but that's the other thing about Jared Goff.
Once they do, his value is going to go up. So
it should, but even so, he's done it with a lot of people now too. And that's the thing, is like his track record is impeccable. Yeah, he's a dummy, but guess what? A lot of guys have washed out of the league while Jared Goff is out here just, you know.
Well, his whole supporting cast is fantasy relevant.
Yeah, and they were, and it's like people are like, oh, the quarterback situation. I'm like, stop talking about Jared Goff like he's might lose his freaking job. Like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Like, he should have had some MVP talk for being for real.
He did take the Rams to a Super Bowl, who now are a quality team. But at that time, we don't, you know, until
they were bombed. That was one of the best. That was one of the best Rams teams ever existed. They comped that team to the greatest show on turf. That was the year they comped that team, and they comped the Chiefs team to that. And then that game happened. Well, we're just gonna write Jared Goff out of the history books.
He's got the Lions in the NFC title game, boys.
Yeah. Who can say that? Patrick Mahomes sure can't.
I think the Lions are going to be in the Super Bowl next year.
They should have been this year. And that's the thing, is like they 100, like they were the better team flat out. And that's saying something, because the 49ers are stacked top to bottom, every position, coaching, coordinators, all of it. And they know the system. They're just on the machine. You know what I mean? Like Dan Campbell is like, I didn't know I needed to like call Vegas and like reserve some hotel rooms because we might go to the Super Bowl. But like the Niners were like, oh, we had people doing that months ago. It's just like, you know, I mean, they're and they should have beat them. So they just need to tighten up that top button just a little bit. And that's the scariest part, too. Don't tell anybody this, but I think they would have whooped the Chiefs' ass in the Super Bowl. They would not have laid down like the Niners did, that's for sure.
Right.
Billy, will you scroll down a little bit, put Jared Goff at the top right now? Yeah, Jared, that rant kind of got me going. But then, as we're
don't even get me started on Baker Mayfield, too. I could go for days on him. He should be way higher as well.
I see a guy down here that is at 26. Sam Howell was coached by Mac Brown at UNC, I believe, this time I'm correct. Brandon, yes. Why don't you talk about Sam Howell?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you guys remember that draft class, I got to, you know, put it in context. He was my QB1 in the draft class. It's not a crazy good draft class. It's the Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, you know, that class. But Howell was my QB1 then, and I was just extremely confused and disappointed at how late he went. And then he comes into a situation with not great coaching, kind of an in-and-out offensive line, and just the Commanders, which have been a mess forever. And he does all right, and he does fine for fantasy, and he gives you a decent rushing floor. He gives you like that 350 rushing yard area, gets you 4 rushing touchdowns a season. And do I think he's going to be the future for the Commanders? Absolutely not. But nobody thinks that, and that's built into his value. And that's fine, because if you look around the league, there's going to be a lot of quarterback vacancies. And what do teams love? Part of the reason why the Steelers just grabbed Russell Wilson is a cheap quarterback. And if you can get Sam Howell, who's still got 2 years of being cheap, and plug him into a situation where if your money is not completely committed to quarterback, you can build a much better offense around the quarterback. He's somebody that you're getting for not starter level, which can be a starter and probably will be a starter. Whether it's immediately or it takes an injury in a trade, he's going to be one of those guys that's not a backup for long. Just like how we've seen Minshew become a starter just by multiple means over and over and over. Sam Howell is Minshew, but better. And he's like a better version of that. And he has more equity and he's younger. So, and he's more athletic. Like, should I keep going? So he's somebody that is just, if you're trying to throw a third round pick around in a super flex league, go throw it at Sam Howell, because he's somebody that we've seen do good enough for fantasy already. And situations can get better, can get worse. Injuries happen. There's going to be a lot of things that give him opportunity in this league.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wasn't Sam Howell like leading the league in yards, like, into week like 12 last year? I mean, that's saying something, guys. In a league where everybody's throwing a lot, this guy obviously has some talent and can sling it a little bit. Eric Bieniemy's offense is nothing that anybody's was super excited about going to Washington necessarily, but obviously it went relatively well. And Sam Howell, we saw play better football than we've seen a lot of these starting quarterbacks out here right now.
Billy, keep it going. Jordan mentioned a guy that might not get to see another front office, Deshaun Watson. Let's talk about him, and you're a little high on him, aren't you?
So I like Deshaun Watson. A part of it is just the pedigree of having seen how good he can be. Last year, my expectations weren't that high. I expect a little bit of rust for a guy that took an entire year off football. I mean, coming back into an NFL game, the speed of the NFL is unmatched, and I think that's what we saw early on. Amari Cooper had his best season last year. Maybe some of that was attributed to Joe Flacco stretch down the end of the season there. But David Njoku, I think we saw take massive strides. They traded for Jerry Jeudy. Elijah Moore's been there, maybe underachieved a little bit. We expect Nick Chubb back. I just feel like this supporting cast with Deshaun Watson, when he's going to be there, focused, shook off the rust and the drama from his past. And I think ultimately we start to see Deshaun Watson kind of come a little bit back to form. The beginning of last year, we saw a top five season right out of the gate, I believe, week one. So the talent is there. We saw flashes, right, guys? So for me, it's just a matter of, like, understanding the quality of player that he is. Kind of to Jordan's point on Jared Goff, real football, Deshaun Watson's a really damn good quarterback to be sitting at my number 12. And, you know, had things not gone the way they did, if he was still in Houston or even in Cleveland with a different transition, 12 seems astronomically low for a guy that's talented to me.
Yeah, what Jordan said is really shocking, or not shocking me, it's like shaking me right now about Jared Goff. Like, He's making me rethink that whole thing. I don't want to see those rankings, so I update them again. But two guys, so we can finish this a little bit early so we can talk about some more stuff. But Billy, you talked about top five, Jordan Love. Reiterate what you, why you have him in your top, like, seven?
Yeah, so top five to me, here's why. The age, the situation. I love the situation with the system with Matt LaFleur, right? Obviously, the running back situation, he just got a boost and help there. And we really didn't even see him on the field with his number one wide receiver target or what we assume would be in a healthy situation. And Luke Musgrave, the young tight end that they drafted to play and be their starter, missed a pretty good portion of the season. We didn't really get to see them full strength. Still had 4,000 yards, over 30 touchdowns, 11 picks. And coming in hot at QB5, and you can't name a player that you had to have in your starting lineup that surrounds him. Christian Watson healthy. I like Romeo Dubs. Jaden Reed really outperformed probably anybody's expectation and kind of that flanker kind of role that they like to use maybe Debo in. And I think Christian Watson may, you know, take some of that role when he gets back. But ultimately, Christian Watson coming back, that is a thoroughbred athlete. That guy on the field just changes what they do. And I just don't see, you know, it getting any worse necessarily as these young guys all grow together and they get a number one target and a real deal running game for hopefully a majority of the season. All good for me in Green Bay.
Two things for me on Jordan Love or on that Green Bay situation. One, Jordan Love could be one of the biggest movers from this year to next year in terms of moving up in dynasty ranking, because him and CJ Stroud, very similar in how they performed. The reason we have CJ Stroud so much higher is because he did it as a rookie. Right. But this was essentially Jordan Love's rookie year. So if Jordan Love just does it again, he should be and could be ranked where we have Stroud right now, which if you look around the fantasy landscape is between quarterback dynasty 4 to 7. And most people have Love a little bit later, as do I. But I realize that that could change very quickly. And the other thing, Billy, you said Jaden Reed kind of did what a lot of people weren't expecting. Just a plug to what we're going to have going on here at Belly Up Fantasy is I do projections, and it takes me about 3-4 hours per team to break down every player. And if you look at my projection last year for Jaden Reed, I was 2 receptions off, 15 yards off, and like 1 target off on exactly what he produced. So just come hang out, all right? Come hang out at the Belly Up Fantasy Live. Hit me up and get those projections going.
To tag back on what Jordan said earlier, it still has me shook about the Jared Goff because he's so right about that. But a guy comes to mind that might not have a job in a few years when Jared Goff is still playing might be Anthony Richardson. I'm really high on him. I know Billy likes him. Brandon.
What?
I know you want to talk about A-Rich. He was one of your guys. Let's go. Why does this guy have to be one of my top 7 picks in Dynasty?
Oh, so here's the thing. The first thing I have to do is you have to justify that statement. How do you think Anthony Richardson might not have a job? You can't say injury. Anything other than that. Was that the reason?
The next Justin
that
Fields.
Is the reason.
That was the reason. Okay, so here's the thing about Anthony Richardson. First off, what's the biggest reason quarterbacks, when they come into the league, bust? Coaching and situation. Quarterback and then running back after is the most situation-dependent position. There are people like, let's say, Patrick Mahomes. Would he be great regardless? Yeah, probably. But would he have done and started as quickly what he did if he ended in a terrible situation like the Jaguars that Trevor Lawrence came into with Urban Meyer? Absolutely not. And when you look at what Anthony Richardson is working with, he has Shane Steichen. Steichen has built offenses for different types of quarterbacks. He shows to have the affinity and knowledge to build around the players that he has to emphasize their strengths, hide their weaknesses. And if you think about Anthony Richardson, a lot of people misunderstand his weaknesses.
Why is that me? Why am I on there?
So
M. Night Shyamalan twist, it was me.
So people call Anthony Richardson raw. Right? They said that about him coming out. Why? What made him a raw prospect? Because he didn't have that many starts? Because he can run? Because everybody acted like he can't throw the ball. He had a better passing profile than Will Levis did. And people acted like Levis was the more polished passer of the two. People don't understand that Anthony Richardson can throw the ball. And he's going to get better at that, just like Josh Allen did, just like a lot of quarterbacks come in and get better at it. And he's got Shane Steichen, who raises the floor, who's going to allow him to run the ball like he did with Jalen Hurts. And Hurts was a top five quarterback by points per game right away before he even had that great MVP year. It's going to be the same thing for Richardson. Richardson averaged, if you look at his snaps, I know it was 2.5 games, so I'm not making that the main point, but he averaged over 25 fantasy points per game. And they've got Michael Pittman. They've got Josh locked in now. They've got Josh Downs, who's a rookie I really liked, and he proved that it was good to like him. He's a good player. They've got Jonathan Taylor. They've got so much going for him there that it's really the only thing that could hold them back is injury. And you're going to get a top five quarterback until his rookie contract is over. That's even if he doesn't develop at all and become a better passer just because of the rushing.
Well, golly, I've got a lot to think about tonight, guys, before our draft tomorrow. Speaking of that, make sure let's get that going. We'll put it in the comments on Twitter. The first 8 people that want to get in there, get in with us. Jordan, any closing remarks you have on any of the quarterbacks? I mean, if you want to talk about Jared Goff again, I'm totally cool with that. And
no, like, I would just say bye.
Right, like, you're right about that.
Get your Jared Goffs, get your Baker Mayfields on your team, and thank me in 7-8 years whenever, you know, you've got a couple championships under your belt and you haven't had to hope to get the next whoever. You haven't gotten stuck with the next Carson Wentz or Bryce Young. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants those problems. So just go get you some bake. Go get you some beer, Goff. Just trust the process. And profit.
Jordan, what are we going to be talking about next week?
Yeah, I forgot what's on the schedule. I don't have it right in front of me. We do think we were going to do rankings, and then we were going to do maybe rookie rankings or maybe like a mock draft. It was one of those two things, I think.
Ooh, let's do mock draft next week. How y'all feel about that?
Yeah, that's what we got, mock draft. That sounds great.
Absolutely fantastic. Guys, before we sign off, one more time. Billy, let everyone know where they can find you, what you're working on, and what's going on in the future.
Yeah, find me on Twitter at BWIT24. DMs are open for anybody that wants to talk football. Hit me up. We're really kind of just digging through this offseason, guys, and enjoying this one as we lead into this season. So I'm looking for any and all leagues, different groups of people, different things. I'm looking forward to diving into IDP with Jordan. I've kind of been holding that one off like the plague, but I think I'm going to dive in and get fun. I've kind of losing touch with the defensive side of the ball. So excited for that, especially with guys. I'm just excited to be here with you guys doing this again, rocking and rolling. So that's where I'm at, guys. How you guys doing?
Man, absolutely love it. Jordan, take it over. Let everyone know where they can follow you, all the same stuff, what you're working on, and what's going on for the future.
Yep, just follow me on Twitter at 50 Shades of Drunk if you want to do that. Also have a feed called Dynasty League AI, which I just post like threads and stuff. That's like all football content. My personal feed's just anything and everything. But just excited to be working on some fantasy football rankings. Always, doing the research. That's the most important thing. You know, it's very easy to just get a, an echo sort of take. But I don't, so make sure you source your fantasy football information, so that you can stay ahead of the people in your league that don't,
And the prodigal son, I would say, I called him a sweet prince the other morning when he went to sleep. Brandon Gabor, let everyone know where they can follow you on, what you're working on. Dive in a little bit of your projections and, we'll kick it off.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you can mainly follow me at Deep Dive FF. It's for Deep Dive Fantasy Football. It's kind of my mantra. I feel like I go and look at trends. I'm kind of a little bit of a geek, a little bit of a nerd. I'm a stat guy. I love looking at stuff like that. I love graphing, charting, all this stuff. And all the research helps me understand why changes occur. A lot of times people say, oh, we never saw that coming. How did we know that was going to happen? Well, I try to backtrack and find the answers to those questions and apply it to the future. And so that's part of the thing that I do in my projection process. I have a 50-page document that explains how I do projections, research that I've done, stuff like that. And something that I'll be supplying that we'll have here at Belly Up is the draft sheets. Once they're done, I wait till after the NFL draft because it changes so much. but I start cranking out projections for every single fantasy relevant player. And it gives you actual, not just, oh, I feel like this guy's my RB7 because I like him more. But it's, no, he's my RB7 because I have him projected.
Oh, no, right again.
You have to tune off the tune in to get that.
One time this thing. So now instead of me muting myself, the caveat will be how many times Brandon will come back and in.
Oh, God. I don't understand what it is, guys. It doesn't do this until we go live, I swear. But like I said, I have those projections, and I actually format it in a way that can be printed out as sheets to bring to your draft, like as draft sheets with consistency grades, VORP, something that you'll understand if you come check us out, and a lot of other things that will be supplied in there. At Deep Dive FF on Twitter, Deep Dive Fantasy Football on Instagram. I have my personal accounts, but I tweet everything from the Deep Dive stuff, so that's where you can find me.
Phenomenal effort, guys. Phenomenal show. Phenomenal team we've got going on here. I'm Chris Pinto at Aggie Kappa Sig. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm not really on there right now, but I'll start getting back on there more active with these guys. A couple things that we're working on. One will be our Belly Up Bowl. This will be the fourth or fifth year that we're going to host it. We'll do it in August. It's a charity event for St. Jude's. So we'll, everything's through League Safe as well, if that means anything to anybody. But also looking forward, we're going to Canton, baby. We're gonna be at the expo. We're going to do a Belly Up Fantasy Live draft and a Belly Up Fantasy Live barbecue. We'll see y'all there. Lots to come. See you next week. Bye.